T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
It's that time of night, you can't stay uptight. So come and join the people that are feeling all right. Here on Overnight America. Overnight America.
And here we are, one more hour live tonight with you, and I'd like to spend it with you however you see fit. So, a couple of things I wanted to get to, and we'll talk some more of the confirmation in Amy Coney Barrett, now the latest Supreme Court justice, well-trained, well-deserved, well-prepared, and she's, I think, going to be a great addition to the Supreme Court. Really looking forward to seeing her on there, and what a historic, great night it is to see that, too. 314-436-7900. I don't know if you saw the story. I like talking space things every once in a while, and apparently a NASA telescope has found evidence of water on the moon. Evidence of water on the moon is somewhat exciting. There's a lot of evidence that there could be water on a lot of different bodies. So Mars, there's evidence that there could be water there. Did this have to discover it? And it's a little bit difficult when you just send a rover that goes about, inches at a time over and over again until the thing breaks down and it's no longer operable. And, you know, we look at Venus and all these other places. Is there planets farther out that we can find evidence that there could be water on that planet? They're kind of in that sweet spot. Is it possible that some of the moons around Jupiter or somewhere has it like that? So there's all of these different things that we're always trying to find examples of. And there's even, is it Titan or Europa? I can't remember which one, but they believe that there is water underneath what would be a frozen lakes and rivers and things on the moon. And it's so fascinating because there's all these different plans to go find it for themselves, because once you find water, it's kind of a game changer. Now, we knew that there was water on the moon already because there was, if I remember this correctly, I kind of have not paid attention to a lot of the space news, but if I remember correctly, there was a satellite that was in orbit that they intentionally crashed onto the moon because after a while, you know, they become inoperable and they decide to send it in there anyway. They've done that with other planets too, just to you know, get the measurements and see how far you can get into Jupiter, for example. Well, in this case, they wanted to try to break up some things on a dark spot. And as they did that, there was another satellite that was measuring what was being broken up from the moon. And from there, they started to measure water. They got the different elements and they said, wow, how about that? We didn't know there was water there. So you start to find these other discoveries that are going down. Mars is a big one, too. But when you start to find water and you can locate that sort of thing, it makes it a lot easier to use it as a resource if you ever do send people back to the moon, or if you send people to Mars, because that changes things and makes it a whole lot easier to sustain life when you have that resource, your disposable resource. So that's good. They're always looking for these sort of things. Good for that. And I don't know if you watch the sky. There's been some stories out of Hawaii. some strange lights out of Hawaii, and they don't exactly know what they are, and people were speculating for a while. Oh, yeah, that's what they were doing. It was like coast-to-coast time, almost like you're ready to go out and learn a little bit about alien civilization. So they finally had to cover it on the news. There were so many people talking about these strange lights over Hawaii. And KHON, this is near Honolulu, reporting.
What is that, guys?
Oh, you got it?
God. What is that?
And I started videos.
Isn't that what you would say too? You look up in the sky, what is that? If you were to see something unidentified flying through the sky, I don't know what you would say. Probably more swear words than that.
When they got closer, that's when I started freaking out, because I'm like, oh, what in the world is this? We actually didn't even know what to think. We didn't know what it was, where it came from. It just appeared. It was very quiet. It was actually very eerie feeling.
There's probably a lot of things in my life I can describe that exact same way. Don't know where it came from, but it scared me. There's a lot of things going back into the history of my life. A lot of them in my teen years.
That was probably what many thought when they saw these mysterious bright lights in the night sky. But experts from the Mauna Kea observatories offer a simple explanation of what they suspect.
You know, when they say simple explanation, you know what that means? That means government cover-up, right? Oh, it's always a weather balloon. All right, no, I'm just kidding. All right, so what did the scientists say in Honolulu?
So in all likelihood, what they saw last night was the re-entry of a rocket booster that was from a rocket that was launched in 2008. It was a Chinese rocket that was boosting up a communications satellite for Venezuela.
It's likely as the years went by, the orbit of the booster eventually decayed. Astronomers found a map of the object's flight path, which was near the Hawaiian Islands.
So we can't be 100% certain because we don't have any of the pieces of the debris. But the pattern of the lights that we saw in our time lapse combined with this map is what really leads us to believe that this was this Venusstat 1 re-entering the atmosphere.
That's kind of cool. Wouldn't that be a fun job if you had to try to be a space investigator to determine what was re-entering, something that was shot up there to begin with? And there's so much space junk. This is a major problem. And I don't think people realize this, that even though it's expensive to launch things into space and satellites, it's become common ground to do so. And there's a lot of just junk and debris that's floating around. Luckily, the planet's a big planet. Unfortunately, we can't really do much when it comes to collecting this debris, and it's just a bunch of flying shrapnel. So in some cases, it's basically a weapon. It's like a bunch of like bullets flying around at all times, and you just hope it doesn't come across and damage something you have up there. Either a very vital satellite that has some sort of good use for us, could be a government issued, or could be some part of our defense system, or even worse, what if we had some sort of spacecraft up there, like the International Space Station, and this comes flying by? That was the basis of a movie. I don't remember which one. It was, what was the Sandra Bullock movie where she's in space for a while? But that's the idea of it. There's this space junk all over the place. Now, to try to regulate, it's very difficult because every country wants to be able to shoot things up and do however they want, and there's not really any sort of code of ethic to not litter in space. And now we even have things where they're shooting up satellites like crazy into the night sky for the case of trying to blanket the world with the World Wide Web, the internet, make it accessible to everyone. Elon Musk and Starlink is doing that very same thing. And his goal was to try to get that thing up and running. And I know they've been testing it, but yeah, that up there in the world, every time you look up and you see something, I think for the most part, you can realize it's either a satellite or a aircraft, you know, just kind of flying by, doing the flyover, but really not aliens. But maybe you think it's aliens and you think it's a government conspiracy. I'd love to hear your conspiracy. Every time we do conspiracy talk, it seems like it's all JFK calls, so maybe we'll get something different. But coming up in a moment, too, if you want to talk about the confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett, our newest Supreme Court justice, I would love to hear from you, because this was a great day to have her on, to get the confirmation and put her onto the Supreme Court bench. 314-436-7900. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
St. Louis's weather station, KMOX.
Welcome back. It's Overnight America. If you're your first time listening to the show, yeah, we don't always talk aliens, but it is kind of fun. I know that the late night audience always appreciates a good alien story, so even when it's not aliens, it still can be aliens, I guess, if you squint hard enough. But that was a good one from that television station in Hawaii, KHON. So the nomination process is complete. We saw a little bit of debate back and forth. You saw Mitch McConnell. You saw talking about the qualifications earlier, and this is right before the vote went through. You also saw Mitch McConnell giving a history lesson to Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer talking about his displeasure for the way that the Republicans are handling this vote. You know, let's kind of talk about it. Okay, so this is what I'll do. I'll let you hear from Chuck Schumer first, and then I'll let you hear Mitch McConnell give a history lesson to Chuck Schumer. Because even when I posted this on Twitter earlier, what you notice is that there's a lot of people that are still upset. Let me go back to the one tweet. This is what one person on Twitter by the name of Gary said. We need a lot more justices and term limits so 50 years of precedents are not overturned almost overnight like a justice dying randomly. And this is listen to what he says. We need more justices. So first off, advocating for packing the court. So let's say Joe Biden does get elected, and the idea that, hey, if they have the ability and maybe they have the Senate, then they would be able to pack as many Supreme Court justices in to override the 9 justices where it sat for all these years. Okay. So he says we need more justices so we don't have in term limits. So he wants more justices in term limits on the justices. So 50 years of precedence are not overturned. So if you want to talk about precedence, you're okay with breaking up the 9 Supreme Court justices because you didn't get your way this time around. And I got to say, of all the things that Donald Trump has accomplished in his administration, 3 Supreme Court justices has to be right near the top, if not the top thing. That is a huge, huge deal. So this is funny. When you see the reactions online, oh, this breaks precedence. So what we're going to do is break precedence by packing the court. No, it doesn't break precedence. In fact, it's the procedure and the way it went, and you just don't like the way it went. You just got to be honest with yourself there. So here is what we saw earlier today. Chuck Schumer upset. I think someone needs to hand him a tissue that may actually help with some of the crying that he was doing.
Mr. President.
Minority Leader.
Today, Monday, October 26, 2020, will go down as one of the darkest days in the 231-year history of the United States Senate.
You think, okay, let me just pause it there. Is today one of the darkest days in American history? That's Chuck Schumer being a little dramatic. Drama, drama, drama.
Let the record show that tonight the Republican Senate majority decided to thwart the will of the people and confirm a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court in the middle of a presidential election after more than 60 million Americans have voted. Let the record show that tonight the Republican majority will break 231 years of precedent and become the first majority to confirm a Supreme Court justice this close to Election Day. And let the record show that tonight the Republican majority will make a mockery of its own stated principle that the American people deserve a voice in the selection of Supreme Court justices.
So it's funny. Let the record show that later tonight he'll already be plotting to try to undermine everything he just mentioned here. Let the record show I'm going to undermine the Senate the first chance I get. It's no one actually believes Chuck Schumer is standing on principle here. It's just all politics. It's just the way it goes. Let's take a couple of your calls here, and let's go to Mike. Welcome to Overnight America.
How you doing, Ryan?
Doing good.
Now, the judge that they picked, now I didn't like when they picked her. I thought they should wait it, but you're going to like this other part, I tell you, the other side of the coin. Even if they would have waited, now here's what I'm going to say. She's still the right person. She sounds like a very nice lady, very intelligent. And I think she'd be the type for all people I think she'd be an excellent judge, you know, the judge, justice, whatever you call it, for anybody, regardless what party you are. And she's not hurting that country one bit. She's putting her, I thought she should have waited. But when I think about it, even if they did wait, I think she would still be the right one. So it seems to be the best anyway. So why gripe about it? Why don't we be thrilled and get behind her?
I'm happy that she's in there, and I think she's going to make a fine Supreme Court justice. Thank you, Mike. Good to hear from you. Have a good night. And he's right. We could just be happy that we have a highly qualified person that has now been put onto the Supreme Court, someone that is constitutionally minded. And Mitch McConnell brings this up. Maybe I'll play that in a moment. Let me get to John, who's calling in first. Welcome to Overnight America.
Good evening. I went to Notre Dame Law School, class of 81. I had some of the same professors as she did. She's a 97 graduate. And then she went on to become a professor, which is extremely unusual because the university wants diversity, and they rarely hire their own graduates as professors. So that meant she was absolutely extraordinary. She won the Best Professor Award three times in a row. And I had the privilege of meeting Judge Scalia at the D.C. Bar Christmas party that they'd have every year. They had everyone from Thurgood Marshall to Powell, Anthony Kennedy, and so on. But the guy with the greatest sense of humor and the sharpest wit was Scalia. And the fact that she clerked for the finest, next to Clarence Thomas, who is outstanding, and I'm glad he swore her in today.
Here's
a remarkable man. But this is a sensational, wonderful day for us in the flyover area, the Midwest.
Oh, wow.
We've got
so you, you know a thing or two about the whole procedure. It sounds like you're very well informed when it comes to the Supreme Court process.
Yes, although I haven't practiced for a while, but I spent 12 years in Washington, D.C., and everywhere you look, there's somebody that was famous. The best thing about living there was not being famous and nobody bother you. Although, as Truman said, if you want a friend, buy a dog in Washington, D.C.
Well, let me ask this, because I don't know what happens next, because you know how when you're on the PGA Tour and you get the green jacket after winning a tournament or, you know, something like that. So what do they, is there like a procedure where they give you like a Leatherman jacket that you're finally in? Like what happens next to her? Does she get fitted for a robe or what goes on? Do you know?
Well, she will choose her own chair. Each justice has their own chair. Very few people realize that, but if you take a look at them, if you ever see them on film, and they still do not allow filming of the arguments,
right,
the oral arguments in the court, but if you see a picture of the bench that they sit behind, everyone's got their own chair. They have to be black, and then the robes have to be black after John Marshall, who had multicolor robes, change them to black. There's only one Supreme Court in the country that has red robes, and those are worn by the justices in Maryland, because Maryland followed the ecclesiastical or the Catholic Church robes of judges, and to this day they still wear red robes. I had one case there in the Supreme Court of Maryland. But the black robes, they get to choose their own chair. They will go into the office that's been left vacant, and that will be Justice Ginsburg. She will select her own group of law clerks, and that will probably be done very quickly.
Sure.
And
it would have to be.
Right. And she will go, she will meet each one of them. She will be, I'm certain there'll be luncheons and so on to get her on board as soon as possible. And there's a camaraderie there. As you know, Ginsburg and Scalia both loved opera. And they got along very, very well with each other, except, you know, for the fact they were two opposite ends of the spectrum.
Right.
But this will be the sixth, they're going to call it a supermajority, and they're all Catholic, Roman Catholic. Roberts, Alito, Clarence Thomas, Gorsuch, I believe, Brett Kavanaugh, and now Amy Coney Barrett.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a remarkable day. I think it's a great day for the country. I think she presented herself fabulously. She was not undermined by any of the attacks on her.
Oh,
she fended them off beautifully. And Lindsey Graham, I think, did such a fine job. Dianne Feinstein came over and hugged him. Evidently, Chuck Schumer chewed her out for hugging Lindsey Graham. But she, that was a sign that she appreciated the civility and the decorum that the Senate should have. Instead of the craziness that went on with Judge Bork, Clarence Thomas, Kavanaugh, Alito, I mean, they respected her, who she was. And I think they recognized, as a woman, they had to treat her much differently. And
I think you make the right points here, and I think they're all very, very good and important ones. And I like the insight you bring to this, John. You have all this great knowledge of what goes on with it, and I never would have realize these sort of things. Next time I am up for a contract negotiation for this radio station, I'm going to request that I get to pick my chair, just like a Supreme Court justice. You've inspired me.
Yes, and that's what distinguishes them. You'll know where they sit by what chair they have. And but they all have to be black. The robes all have to be black. Now, the women wear lace around the collar. Ginsburg did that. I think Kagan has done that, and Sotomayor as well. Whereas the men will have a coat and tie on, or at least a shirt and tie underneath.
Right. Right.
So,
John, thank you for that.
You bet. And
I appreciate
it. Thank you for your fantastic show. You talk
awesome.
A lot
well, thank
about,
you.
About the big bumper. You bring an awful lot to the show because you do research. As one person told me, in order to teach in college, you have to do 10 hours of research for every hour at the podium. And I believe that's what you do for every hour of broadcasting. You put in tremendous research. You bring in fantastic guests. Now, Mr. White was a character, but he did not have the vast diversity of guests that you have, and you spend a lot of time, and I don't think people realize that, in preparing for your show. And I have to commend you for being outstanding. One of the best prepared announcers I've ever listened to in my life.
Well, thank you, John. That means a lot to me. Thank you for bringing that up, and I truly do appreciate it. And all the great, nice things you said. I'm always welcome for compliments on the Ryan Recker compliment line. 314-436-7900. And he's right. 10 hours. For every hour I'm on the air, I prepare 40 hours a day to do this four-hour show. 40 hours a day. I'm pretty sure the math works out. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
And you're always welcome to call the Ryan Recker compliment line. That's always going to be open for you at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. In fact, if you want to use that line during any of the other shows here on KMOX, that would be really nice for you to do that. Just go ahead and call up and tell them you're calling the Ryan Recker compliment line and just go on and proceed to compliment me on someone else's show here on the station. You could go do it on other people's shows too. I don't care. So I wanted to read this quick text message from Tina. I thought this was nice. Tina pointed out, Ryan, I used to go into the Pink Sisters Chapel once a week when I worked downtown. Community of nuns, they take a vow of silence forever. Mimi is right. It is beautiful inside. Well, thank you very much, Tina, for that. Let's see. If Schumer, here's another different text message. If Schumer is so concerned about precedent, why would his party's presidential candidate even consider packing the Supreme Court with more than nine justices, which goes against over 100 years of precedent? Yeah, we're, what, 150-some years? It goes way back. Good point. So they're not really concerned about precedent then, are they? They're more concerned about their ability to not keep the power. And I like that Mitt Romney said it the best, or as Joe Biden would say, that one Mormon said it the best, that it's not written in the stars that the Supreme Court has to be a liberal entity. It's not something that is a given. And I think that, if anything, this probably better represents the values of our country. So, good. Now, Mitch McConnell, by the way, had a response, a history lesson for Chuck Schumer, who brought this up. And I thought, you know what, let's play the history lesson, because this is a really good blueprint of what led us to today and why Amy Coney Barrett had the process before the election in order to become a Supreme Court justice. This is a couple minutes long, but I think it's worth replaying.
I've laid it out earlier, and I'll talk about some of it again so the American people may understand how we got to where we are. It was the Senate Democrats, our colleagues over here, who amazingly enough don't seem to be on the floor at the moment.
Oh yeah, by the way, they all left.
Who spent the early 2000s boasting about their brand new strategy of filibustering qualified nominees from a Republican president. They were proud of it. They found a new way to halt the process, stop those crazy right-wing judges that Bush 43 was going to send up. They pioneered it because they knew what the precedent was at that point. At that point, as we've discussed before, it just wasn't done. Oh, you could do it. You could. But you didn't. And the best evidence that you shouldn't do it was the Clarence Thomas nomination, confirmed 52-48. And all of us know that any one of us in this body has a lot of power to object. So if any one of the 100 senators at that time, including people who were virulently opposed to Justice Thomas, like Joe Biden and Ted Kennedy, could have made us get 60 votes and Clarence Thomas would not have been on the Supreme Court. That's how strong a tradition was until the Democratic leader led the effort in the early 2000s to establish the new standard. Well, after establishing the new standard, they got kind of weary of it. And in 2013, the so-called nuclear option was implemented because Republicans were holding President Obama's nominees to the same standard that they themselves had created. So when the shoe got on the other foot, they didn't like it too much. It was too tight. Senate Democrats, both in 1992 and 2007, helpfully volunteered how they would have dealt with a nominee like we did in 2016. the then chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Joe Biden, helpfully volunteered in 1992 when Bush 41 was running for re-election that had a vacancy occurred, they wouldn't fill it. There wasn't a vacancy, but he just helpfully volunteered how they would deal with it if they had one. If there's a vacancy, we won't fill it. Well, to one-up him, Leader Harry Reid and his friend, now the Democratic leader, Chuck Schumer, said 18 months before the end of the Bush 43 period, if a vacancy on the Supreme Court occurred, they wouldn't fill it. That's a fact. What we're talking about here are the facts about how we got to where we are.
Wow. Great, great history lesson today of Mitch McConnell looking over to an empty seats where all of the Democrats decided they didn't want to be present, and looking at them and saying, you're trying to lecture us about precedent right now? How about we go have a little history lesson now, shall we? Good for him. I'm glad he didn't. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
So for the remaining time, let's do something non-political, mostly because I'm a big fan of like novelty food things, and I like to pay attention to what's going on at some of my favorite fast food locations. So one of them is Burger King, and I don't go there that often. I would like to, but it's just not in a convenient location. So when I get a chance to go there, do enjoy me some Burger King. Don't get me wrong. I just need to find a way to do it a little more often. But this may seem to be one of those occasions where I would do it. So I found this on my blog with all the different food stories on it called The Delish. And they said that Burger King's showing off new restaurant designs that they're going to be starting in 2021. And it kind of looks like going to a Sonic. So you know how if you've been to a Sonic, they have all the individual parking spaces, and then there is a menu where you order, and then they bring it out to you. It kind of looks like that. So they have the drive-through, and there's a pickup and order, or a pickup just in one area. But it looks like a lot of the preference is for you to order ahead and just come pick it up, as opposed to order it and waiting in line. So as we look towards 2021, it says the restaurant concepts created by Restaurant Brands International's in-house design group says that in order for guests, they pull into a special parking spot, made an order on the Burger King app, or scan a QR code in their parking spot and have the food delivered right to their car, kind of like at Sonic. It's been a long time since I've been to anywhere other than a Sonic that brings the food out to you. There's this place in Ohio. I think it's called Swinson's, or I think it's Swinson's. But there's a few of these locations. They're like in the Akron area, and it's like that, except the novelty is based on what you would have gotten in the 50s. So you park your car, and you turn your lights on, and that indicates you want someone to come to your car. Now, the workers are constantly moving. So instead of the workers just kind of hanging out inside and waiting for someone to show up, they are walking around the building nonstop, constantly monitoring if someone needs something. No joke. You sit and you wait and you just see them constantly do laps around the building. And it's bizarre. And their food is really good, too. But that's kind of interesting. Burger King is going to be switching some things around and trying to adapt to a COVID world. They also said they're focusing on sustainability. So in each of these individual parking spots, it's almost like there's a little cover to it. So you kind of like go under the cover, and it's solar panels. So I don't know if the solar panels are fully functional to try to, you know, power the building or power the actual signs or whatever it is around it. But it's kind of cool that they're doing that. I saw this other food story. I know we're getting close to Thanksgiving. I'm all ready to go upstairs and maybe have a late night snack after this. Here's a completely different food story. There's a rapper by the name of Drake, pretty popular. I think he's Canadian, mostly known as of late for being connected to the Toronto sports scene. So when the Raptors were in the NBA playoffs, you would see him courtside yelling and screaming stuff. And he's a pretty well, I think, liked rapper in the sense that he when he puts an album out and music out, it's extremely popular, probably a highly, makes a lot of money, you know, high income type of earner there. So someone pointed out that at one of his birthday parties just recently, there was a menu of his favorite foods that you can order. And on this menu, the Happy Birthday Drake menu, you can order mac and cheese. Now, that's normal, right? You go to a birthday party, order some food or whatever if they have it. That's kind of nice, highbrow type of deal. Mac and cheese, but there's a little something extra. It's served the way this rapper Drake enjoys it. It's with raisins. Mac and cheese with raisins. Ooh, weird, right? Number one, the texture alone is a little bit strange. The mac and cheese is already a little squishy because that's the way macaroni is. After you boil it and cook it up and ready, whatever you add to it, it's just, you know, there's a little bit of sponge factor to it because it's not a pure solid or anything like that. You add something else that's spongy to it, that's just weird. Number two, what could raisins actually add to the flavor next to cheese? They can't add anything. It's even the mac and cheese option, trying to find something that would be a little sweet to add into it. It's not trail mix. You know, if they want to throw some dried raisins into a trail mix, okay, I get it. If they want to throw some raisins into ice cream even, not my thing, but I understand. I guess I could live without it, but I would still do it. If they want to throw some raisins into a cake, not my thing, but I'd still eat it. I wouldn't say no. They want to throw raisins into anything else, mac and cheese included? Who does that? Is this one of those carryover things that he enjoyed when he was a kid, and now he just can't stop eating it? It's like the only one true way that you can possibly eat mac and cheese. One last food story for you, if you're not already turned off by my food stories. KFC is getting ready to sell again their patented herbs and spices fire log. If you have a fireplace, fire logs are pretty easy. If you don't know what they are, well, essentially, you can get a log that's an actual log, you know, chop part of a tree down. Some people buy boxes of these things, and they're basically packaged in some sort of wrapper that's flammable, and you put this log inside of your fireplace, and then there's a couple of spots where you use a lighter, and you light it, and then, you know, the packaging eventually burns off, but on the inside, there's just a log that I'm sure has some accelerant in it, and it just kind of keeps the fire going for a few hours. It's nice, easy, convenient type of thing for you to just throw in there if you don't want to go buy and worry about getting the firewood started and going. It's just an easy get it done, and hey, you got a fire in the background. Well, KFC has one of these logs, and what they decide to do is make it smell like KFC chicken. Is that good or is that bad? So the log cost $15 plus tax and delivery fees. It's available now. You can find them in store if they're available. I don't know if I want my house smelling like KFC. Now, it might be fun to light one of these and bring people over and see if they notice it and if they say anything. Would you go to a home and if it smells like KFC chicken because of the fireplace, would you mention that to them or would you be afraid to ask because you don't really want to know? It's like you want to know, but you don't know at the same time. I am a fan of novelty things like this. So we have about a minute left, and in the replay hours, you'll hear just again, and since this is replayed from the 8 o'clock hour, the very start of Rich Rubino's interview, we actually aired live the Amy Coney Barrett being sworn into the Supreme Court. So you'll catch that again coming up. We'll talk a little bit about Amy Coney Barrett's confirmation. This is at the very start of the show. And then after that, Rich Rubino does a great job giving us an update on what's going on in the election. And why is Biden traveling to the states he's traveling to? Why is Donald Trump traveling to the states he's traveling to? We'll also have some great interviews. One is a writer for the National Review, and he asked some pretty good questions. In fact, I really enjoyed our conversation with him and a local author, Nene Harris. You can find that on the podcast now. That was from the last hour. That won't be part of the replay. Join me on Facebook, Ryan Recker Radio. We're just a few days away on Thursday night. If you haven't heard, I'm going to be replaying one of the old Jim White Halloween spooktaculars. Ooh. Every year he would love doing those spooktaculars. Halloween was his big, big thing that he loved. And luckily, thanks to a listener of this program, we have one that's now been archived, and we're going to replay for you Thursday night starting at 9 o'clock. And then again on Halloween night, KMOX is going to replay it again, too. So pretty cool to keep the memory of Jim White alive. Well, that does it for us here on Overnight America. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll be back again tomorrow. And feel free to reach me on Facebook. Have a good night. Bye.
My heart beats with the lonely rain, wishing I could see your face again. Change the dial on the radio, find something playing kind of bluesy and slow. If things were only like they used to be, we'd be lying in love tonight. I wish you'd call me on.
Really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.